Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Revelation. Tonight we'll be studying Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, and this will be study number 3 of Revelation chapter 2. It says in verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And in our last study, we looked at the first part of this verse, and now we're going to look at the last part, where it says, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Now, first of all, we have to recognize that the congregation at Ephesus did its duty by trying these individuals who said they were apostles. And how did they do this? Well, in 1 John chapter 4, God lays out this principle. It says in 1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We are to try the spirits to see if they are of God. And the reason is because there are many false prophets or false spirits, those who say they represent God, that they're speaking on behalf of God, that the things that they're teaching are faithful to what God has said in the Bible. And so God doesn't say, don't listen to any man. He doesn't say that, but he just admonishes us and he instructs us to try them. That is, listen, and the ear tries words like our taste buds taste meat. And we listen carefully for what is being said. We listen especially for the scriptures that are being referred to. And then we test out the teaching that we're hearing in the Bible by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. All right, this teacher said such and such about this verse. Well, let's check that out and let us examine the Bible, searching the scriptures to see if it's so. And the Bible will prove it, that it is a true teaching, or the Bible will disprove it. And that is how we try the spirits. And this is what the people in the congregation of the Church of Ephesus were involved in. And the Lord is commending them for this. It is a positive thing that they tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. So the fact that they examined what they were hearing and discovered that it wasn't true, it wasn't faithful, the Bible doesn't teach it, it was not the word of God, revealed to them that these people who were doing the teaching were not true apostles. They were false apostles and lying apostles. Now, this word apostle, we quickly associate it with the 12 because they were called apostles. But are they the only apostles? Does the Bible refer to any other apostles? And yes, the Bible does. In Acts 14, in verse 14, it says, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. Here, Barnabas and Paul are called apostles. And it is true of the apostle Paul that he was an apostle on the same scale as the 12, because the Lord had come to him when he was on the way to Damascus and had spoken to him directly and had commissioned him, sending him to the Gentiles, sending him with the gospel. And therefore, Paul was the last of the official apostles or those that had the office of an apostle. There were the 12, and there was the apostle Paul. There was also the apostle who replaced Judas. We read about him, Matthias, in the book of Acts in chapter 1. It says in verse 25 that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So Matthias replaced Judas and became one of the 12, and that was in the office of the apostle, which Barnabas, of course, was not in the office of the apostle. He wasn't one of the 12. He had no special circumstances like Paul, but how could then he be called an apostle? Well, let's look at another verse in Philippians, and we'll find another individual who's identified as an apostle. In Philippians chapter 2, it says in verse 25, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants." In this verse, the Greek word normally translated as apostle is translated as messenger. Epaphroditus was the messenger or apostle to the Philippians. And notice that the apostle Paul sent him. "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, your apostle." Now, Epaphroditus was not an apostle in the same way as the 12 or Paul, but he is called an apostle. And the fact that he was sent is important. So was Barnabas, actually, and Paul, sent forth as missionaries of the gospel to the Gentiles. And here Epaphroditus is also said to be sent. Well, the Greek word translated as apostle is also found in John chapter 13, in verse 16. John 13, verse 16. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." Now, the word translated normally as apostle is the phrase, "he that is sent." And this is very helpful because now God has defined what an apostle is, or what the word apostle means. It means he that is sent. And that's why Barnabas is called an apostle. Barnabas was sent as a missionary. It's why Epaphroditus is called an apostle. Epaphroditus was sent to the Philippians. And so the Lord sends individuals to bring the gospel as a missionary, like Barnabas and Paul, or he can send someone like Epaphroditus to the church at Philippi, and Epaphroditus can minister to the people there. And of course, when people are sent as a missionary or sent forth by the Lord, they're sent with the gospel that they declare. And so they would teach. They would share the information that they know to be true from the Word of God. Now, in the case of the Church of Ephesus that we're reading about in the book of Revelation, some were claiming that God had sent them, and yet they were found to be liars. They were not speaking the truth. They were false apostles. False apostles immediately reminds us of that enlightening passage in the book of 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, God gives us some important information, and this is very helpful to the child of God. If God didn't let us know, as he does here, of Satan's deceitful workings within the congregations. And if the Lord didn't specifically detail these things, oh, there would be such great confusion. How could there be so many Christians that lack understanding of the truth and live like the world? But when we come to passages like this, the Lord gives us valuable information that helps us to understand how it is that so many can profess to be children of God and yet not be so in reality. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And here we have an exact description of what those at the church of Ephesus discovered. When they learn that those apostles were not true apostles, but liars, they actually uncovered the working of Satan in that congregation. And once again, just to remind us, as we read of the church at Ephesus or any of the seven churches addressed in the book of Revelation, it has application to the entire church age and to all churches. And therefore, it is revealing to us that Satan did not always get away with his devisings, with his sowing of tares amongst the wheat, that there were congregations here and there faithful to the Word of God that did examine these teachers and these so-called apostles, and they listened carefully for what they were saying and declaring as the Word of God. And as they tried the spirits, as they searched these things out in the Bible, they learn, well, these men aren't speaking the truth. Therefore, they cannot be true apostles. God didn't send them. The Lord didn't send them with these doctrines. The Lord didn't send them with this kind of a gospel. And they were found to be liars, and they were found to not be true apostles. Now, the church as a whole ought to have been involved with this activity of checking and examining the teaching that they were hearing throughout the entire church age. But we know, of course, that church after church did not do this and failed the task until more and more churches became apostate and fell away from the truth, and more candlesticks were removed during the centuries of the church age, until finally God came and removed the light of the gospel from the midst of all the churches and congregations of the world at the end of the church age, which took place in May of 1988. Until today, of course, we're living in a time after the end of the church age, even after the Great Tribulation, and God completed his judgment upon the congregations, and that judgment now has expanded and transition to all the world. And so we're living at a time where all the churches and all who profess that they have been sent forth by God in the congregations and who are claiming, listen to what I have to say because it's coming from the mouth of God, all of them now are proven to be false apostles, falsely sent forth. God has not sent them. God has not sent the pastor who's continuing to preach in church after church. He has not sent the elders and deacons who continue to exercise authority in the congregations. He has not sent the missionaries of the churches who go forth attempting to get converts to their particular denomination. God has not sent anyone with the Word of God, with the gospel message in the churches at this time, because the church age is over and we're living in the day of judgment. And we could also say God is not sending anyone forth to evangelize the gospel at this time, that is, to bring the gospel to people and to give them false encouragement that they can get right with God today, that they can become a child of God, find salvation today. No, that day is over. The day of salvation has come to an end. Well, let's go back to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah in order to find a historical example of a false apostle. And we normally don't associate anything in the Old Testament with the word apostle. But now that we understand the definition of an apostle is one that is sent, we do discover a historical passage that relates to what we're reading in Revelation chapter 2. In Jeremiah chapter 28, I'm going to read the first four verses to begin with. It says, "And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah king of Judah, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month, that Hananiah the son of Azur the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of Jehovah, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, Thus speaketh Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of Jehovah's house, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith Jehovah, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Now this prophet, Hananiah, was declaring things that were flat out contrary to the declarations of Jeremiah the prophet. And so Jeremiah responds in verse 5, "Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests, in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of Jehovah, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, Jehovah do so. Jehovah perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of Jehovah's house, and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears, and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that Jehovah has truly sent him." And here Jeremiah is pointing out, of course, by the word of God, that true prophets of God prophesy of wars and pestilence, and they prophesy against countries and against kingdoms. They prophesy of evil things, that is, the wrath of God, the judgment of God. This is the nature, the character of true prophecy. And the prophet which prophesies of peace, as Hananiah was doing, see, Jeremiah was speaking the word of the Lord and saying that God was against his people, Judah, that God was using the Babylonians to be victorious over Judah due to Judah's transgression, and that the Jews were to go into captivity and submit to the word of God for a long period of time. And yet this prophet was saying, oh no, here's what's going to happen. You see, the tide will turn and God will fight for his people. And within 2 years, the yoke of the king of Babylon will be broken, and those carried to Babylon will return even the king will return to Judah and to Jerusalem. And so Jeremiah said amen to that. That is, look, I'm a Jew. I understand that desire. I would want that of my own self for our people to be victorious, for our king to return, and for our enemy to be destroyed. However, I can only speak the truth that God has given me. And I can only tell you that's never going to happen. God has no such plans. And here, what I'm saying is in line, it's in accord with how prophets of old have spoken of hard to hear things, of evil things. And Hananiah, he's declaring to you something that prophets don't normally declare, not true prophets. Well, then, in response to that, in verse 10, then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith Jehovah, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now, it's significant that Jeremiah didn't just shoot right back and say something. No, Jeremiah is a true man of God, and he waited on the Lord. And then later, the Lord came to him and told him what to say to Hananiah. And then we read in verse 15, then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, Jehovah has not sent thee. And remember, to be an apostle means to be sent forth by God. And to be a false apostle would be that you're coming saying, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord has not sent thee. So Hananiah is historically a good example of a false apostle, an individual who is not sent forth by God. Jehovah has not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against Jehovah. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Hananiah taught rebellion. And all he was saying was, oh, that the Lord will help us. The Lord will break the yoke of the king of Babylon, and he'll restore the people taken captive. And you can imagine how well that message would have been received by the Jews of the land of Judah. What a good message for the people. Very patriotic, very encouraging to all the people that these troubles that we're going through will be short-lived. We don't have long to wait, and God will fight for us as he's always done. The only problem is it was a flat-out lie. It was a total untruth. God did not send Hananiah. Just like God has revealed through his word and his true servants, the true believers share this truth, that the church age is over, that God is not using the churches and congregations. He's not blessing any of the preaching of the pastors and elders and deacons. He is not saving anyone within the church anywhere in the world. And those who are in the churches, well, they fight against this and they say, not so. The Lord has not given up his people. The Lord is still with us. He has not deserted us. He has not turned us over to Satan. And we are not under the judgment of God. Well, it all sounds very well and good. It all sounds very loyal, very honoring to the church itself. And of course, who would want Satan to be victorious? The people gladly hear these things and receive these things from their false apostles, because God didn't send them. with that message. God sent the message that judgment begins at the house of God, and it's time to flee, to get out of the church, and to leave the congregation. And those who teach otherwise are teaching rebellion against the Lord. This is the unfortunate truth. It's tragic truth, but it is the truth none the same, or nonetheless, that God has brought judgment on the church, and of course, that judgment now includes the whole earth. And when the Lord's people share this information that God has put out the light of the gospel upon the face of all the earth, that the Lord is no longer saving individuals, that the door to heaven is shut, this also is in line with, it meets the criteria of the declarations of the testimony that God has given to his people of old. For those that speak forth the word of God truly, that God has given them the message to share truth from the Bible against countries, against kingdoms, against the sins of mankind. And God has given a message that is an evil message in the sense that it has nothing good in store for those that are under the wrath of God at this time. It is an evil time. Judgment Day is an evil thing. And God's people share this truth. And again, we just can only say what the Bible says, the message that God has given us to share with others. Well, next time we get together, we'll continue on into verse 3 of Revelation chapter 2, and we'll look at how the Lord is continuing to commend those in the church at Ephesus and those throughout the church age who have done this, who have borne, it says, and has patience, and for his name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. And we'll take a look at those words and this verse when we get together in our next Bible study.